Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. We exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled this morning's message, The Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to read verses 51 through 54. And we're going to allow the Holy Ghost to have his way. Amen? And so it reads, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, sleep here in the Greek is basically a body that has been buried. It's dead. That's what sleep means. It doesn't mean that you're asleep on a nap. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Twinkling of an eye is two things. It's faster than the speed of light, and also a twinkling of an eye is when you see the sunset, and then instantly it's dark. That's the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump. I need you to catch that. At the last trump. Okay? Just make a mental note of that, because we're going to get back to that. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Amen? Look at verse 53. For this corruptible, this body of flesh, we live in a corruptible body. It's sinful, very sinful. Can I get amen? And so, for this corruptible must put on what? Incorruption. And this mortal, meaning we're temporal here, must put on immortality, meaning God has intended for us to live forever. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. How many are so blessed to know that death is swallowed up in victory? Did you know death has nothing over you and I anymore? Can I get amen? Amen. So how many people remember when Katrina hit New Orleans? Okay? Remember that hurricane? It just started brewing, and all of a sudden, bam, it came upon New Orleans. I bet people would want to have known, and that they would have a warning to flee out of there. And a lot of them didn't get a warning. It just appeared, and then it hit the ground. And many floods. I remember we were in Palm Springs. Yolanda and I, we were at a marriage retreat. But prior to that, Brother Tony can attest, we were in Israel. Remember, we went down to Gush Katif. Gush Katif is down in Gaza. And the church we attended, we blessed that little town of Gaza with $50,000, and we were like blown away. Go, wow, Pastor Leo wrote that check. What was that for? Well, a year later, what had happened is Ariel Sharon, the prime minister, and President Bush at the time, they brokered a deal to give up land for peace. The Bible's clear, do not divide the land of Israel. And so they brokered a deal. And the moment they brokered the deal, we were in Palm Springs, we were watching the news, a hurricane just came out of nowhere. And during that time, while it was spinning, the Israeli army went into the town of Gush Katif, where we were a year prior, and they were pulling them, all the people that had built their homes there, they were dragging them out of their homes, and they were removing them from the land that God put them. There were scenes where mothers were holding on to the door, and they were carrying them away. And so what happened, the town of Gush Katif, the Israelis, they went immediately to their grave site, and they dug up their graves, and they took their dead with them, because they knew that the Palestinians was going to desecrate their grave sites. And all that was taking place, a hurricane came out of nowhere, and then, bam, it hit New Orleans. It hit New Orleans, and a flood came, And as the Israelis were taking their bodies, their caskets away, the floods came so hard that the graves in New Orleans opened up and the caskets were floating down the river. It's called eye for eye. You do this to Israel, God will do it right back to you. In other words, do not touch the land of Israel, because that's where Jesus is coming back to rule and reign. Can I get an amen? He's coming back to rule and reign from Jerusalem. And I know a lot of churches don't teach that, but he is. The Bible tells me that when he comes to set up the 1,000-year millennial reign, guess what? We're going to be with him. Can I get amen? Ruling for 1,000 years on this planet without any evil, without any sin. We will have changed. Can I get amen? Praise God. So we need to focus on this particular feast, the Feast of Trumpets. I had to give you an introduction to this because these things are real, what took place and what's about to take place. Can I get amen? So we need to look, first of all, at the fall feast. Let me go here for a minute. Well, let's go to Leviticus. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 23, verse 2. I need you to see this. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel concerning the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Even these are my feasts. Notice I underline feasts and convocations. So when you look at the word feast, you need to throw out in your mind hometown buffet, Golden Corral. Okay, because when you look at it in the English, it looks like, wow, this is a big festival, a feast. We're gonna eat. We're gonna see what this really means in the Hebrew, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, with which even these are my feasts. Notice, the feasts do not belong to the Lord. They don't belong to us. They don't belong to the Jews. They don't belong to us. They belong to the Lord. Let me correct that. They belong to the Lord. So if they belong to the Lord, who are we to not honor the feast? Can I get amen? I know a lot of Gentiles, Gentile believers, it's like over their head until God reveals in the scripture what these festivals are all about. Now, I need you to look now at those same words that I highlighted, and let's look in the Hebrew. The Hebrew word for feast is called moed, meaning appointed times. It's an appointed time, meaning it's an appointment with God. It doesn't mean hometown buffet. The Hebrew word for convocation is mikra, meaning a dress rehearsal. I need you to catch this. I need you to catch this. It's a dress rehearsal. For thousands of years now, when God gave Moses to celebrate these seven feasts, they've been going through their rituals every year. Every year they've been going through their rituals, right? Little did they know that Jesus is he's in all seven of those feasts. He's all in those seven feasts. And we're going to see that he has prophetically fulfilled the first four. And so let's look at this slide right up here. I want you to catch this slide. Up there you see the spring feasts, which are to the left. And then you see the fall feast. Here's where you can connect the dots. Okay, you can connect the dots. Number one, Passover. You know, our Jewish friends, once a year, they celebrate Passover. Sometimes it's real close to our Easter Sunday, the resurrection. Can I get an amen? Okay, what they don't see is Jesus. He died on that festival. He was crucified on the Passover feast. So if you look in the New Testament and the Gospels, they were preparing the festival of Passover, and at the same time, they were binding Yeshua, Jesus, on a cross. They were binding him up during this festival. So he was crucified on Passover. Now, the second feast is unleavened bread. Leaven in the Bible is a type of sin. Okay? In other words, and it's a type of yeast. Why is it called unleavened bread? Because when they celebrate this festival, the bread has no yeast, so it doesn't spread. It doesn't rise, okay? Well, sin spreads. We know this. So Jesus, he who had no sin, became sin that we would become the righteousness of Christ by faith. So he was in the tomb without any sin. In other words, he didn't have any leaven in him. Can I get amen? So now, the third day, we all know the death, burial, and resurrection. On the third day when Jesus rose again, he rose on their third festival called the Feast of First Fruits. He was the first to rise from the dead. Are you catching this already? Okay, so now, 50 days from Passover comes the fourth feast. And how many have read the book of Acts time and time again? And it would say, on the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and one mind, they were in the upper room, okay? Well, God chose to pour out the Holy Ghost on the fourth festival. That's actually called the Feast of Weeks, or Shavuot. But I need you to catch something here. Back to Passover. It's on the biblical calendar. Nisan 15. You see that? Okay, it's not a Japanese car. It's Nisan 15. That's the Jewish Jewish month. And then you see unleavened bread, and then you see first fruits. They're all in the month of Nisan. Then 50 days later, Pentecost, it's on Sivan 6. That festival is actually called, in the Bible, the Feast of Weeks. Shavuot. It's a harvest. All these are harvest times. Okay, so God chose the Holy Ghost to be poured out on the Feast of Pentecost. Amen? So now, we go to the Fall Feast. And right now in Israel, at 8:30 this morning, the sun set, and so now it's a two-day festival. We're going to see why it's called a two-day festival right now. But that's on Tishri 1 and 2. So Tishri is another Jewish month, amen? Tishri 1 and 2. And it's called the Feast of Trumpets, okay? And we're going to see what ceremony takes place in heaven, takes place on this earth when that is celebrated. Then there's the next feast called the Feast of Yom Kippur. It's called the Day of Atonement. It's when the Jews afflict their soul. But we're gonna look at this at another time, at another teaching, that it's a time of judgment. And then Tabernacles. Tabernacles is the last fall feast, what will be prophetically fulfilled. That's where God says in Revelation, God's going to tabernacle with us, face to face. In other words, we'll be with him for 1,000 years during the millennial reign. How many can't wait for that moment? I can't wait for that moment. It's going to be an awesome time. Can I get amen? So, you look at trumpets, Yom Kippur, and tabernacles, which has not yet been prophetically fulfilled. So, I need you to see Pentecost, trumpets. For 2,000 years, it's called the church age. We are in the period of grace and mercy. God is, for the past 2,000 years, God has been harvesting souls. He's been harvesting souls, and many souls are being birthed into the kingdom of God. That's his plan. So this is God's grace. He's given time for us to get in. Can I get amen? He gave us time to get in. And so this is why it's called the church age, but it's all starting to close, because we're seeing now that this church age will end soon and very soon. Amen? So trumpets, Yom Kippur, and tabernacles have a meaning to those names. Let's look at this. The Feast of Trumpets is a type of repentance. Okay? Listen, when we received the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't we repent? Huh? We repented, didn't we? We turned to the living God. We turned from our sinful ways. We turned to God. Okay? The Feast of Yom Kippur is redemption. Meaning, when God comes and changes us and we have the brand new body, we will be redeemed. Hallelujah, by the Lord Jesus Christ. See, right now, we have only a deposit. You know, when you go buy a car, you got to put a deposit down. When you buy a home, you should put a deposit down, or you may not get that home or car without a deposit. Amen? Well, God has deposited His Holy Spirit in us, which is a guarantee now of our salvation. Can I get amen? So, since we have this guarantee, the next greatest thing is when He redeems us from this body of flesh to the body like His. Can I get it? We just read that in Corinthians, right? So how many can't wait for that new body? It'll never be diseased. It'll never grow old. Can I get amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, we don't have to worry about pain. Oh, my gosh. Oh, you know, I didn't notice pain until I turned 60. Now there's pain everywhere. Why is there pain here? Yeah, because you're coming closer to that time where you will go to sleep, meaning you'll go to the ground. Can I get amen? And many of them have precious loved ones that have already gone before us. So the believers, they're what? Their bodies are in the ground, but their soul and spirit's with the Lord. Can I get amen? Praise God. But He's going to reunite all that together in one brand new body. And I can't wait. Can I get amen? So I'm going to ask this question. How many understand the word idiom? Idiom, not idiot. Idiom. Look for that in a dictionary. Someone's. I see people looking right now for, what does idiom mean? Well, I have it for you. Let's look at this for a moment. It'll be nice if it clicks. There you go. Idioms, we're going to look at idioms for the feast of Yom Teruah. Yom Teruah is the Feast of Trumpets, which we are now teaching on. And so, if you don't know what an idiom is, here's Webster's definition. Look at this. A construction or expression of one language whose parts correspond to elements in another language, but whose total structure is matched in an indirect way. Case in point. If I said to you, brother, come November, I want to have you over. We're going to have turkey and gravy, pumpkin pie, and we're just going to eat to our heart's content. So you already know what that day is. What is it? Thanksgiving, right? It's Thanksgiving. We eat turkey and all that stuff on that day. But because I didn't say Thanksgiving, what I said was a type of idiom. It was other words, but it meant the same. Okay? So this is why we have to look at this feast, because there's a lot of idioms that tie in through the Word of God. I need you to understand this. Can I get amen? Okay, so in this particular feast, there's going to be six events that'll take place on the Feast of Trumpets. Now, they may not all take place on one particular Feast of Trumpets. One or two of them may. Another year, another one may. I don't know that. All I know is, studying the Word of God, these are going to take place on the Feast of Trumpets. Can I get amen? Okay, so now, let's look at this up here. We're going to go back up here. Number one, the time of Jacob's trouble. It's called the seven-year tribulation. And it will be the beginning of a seven-year Shemitah cycle. For those of you who understand the Hebraic root and been learning about the Shemitah, this Rosh Hashanah, which for us will happen at sunset on this hemisphere, is going to start a brand new seven-year cycle. Let me just share what has happened every 7 years. In 2001, 9/11. In 2008, the stock market crashed everywhere. Remember, you're driving around, you saw nothing but foreclosed homes in 2008. Yeah. It was horrendous. It was at a beginning of a seven-year cycle. The last 7 years was the blood moons. Remember the blood moons? And they fell on Passover tabernacles. It fell right on the Jewish holidays, on the festivals. Many messianic teachers believe that was God's billboard in the sky, letting the world know that in 7 years, the tribulation was about to begin. And right now, there's a whole lot of saber rattling around the world. Oh, Putin's already threatened, I'm going to nuke you guys, because he has more nukes than we do. It's all stirring up. The pot is stirring. So don't be fearful. Just remain faithful. Can I get an amen? Because God will be with us. So on the Feast of Trumpets, don't know if it's this year, could be next year. Obviously, they weren't the feast from the past. But there's one coming up right now in these next 2 days. Okay? It could. I'm not saying it is. But it could be the beginning of a 7-year tribulation. If that's the case, I believe God's going to take his church home and get us out of the way. Why? Because we're not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. Amen? Look at number 2, what takes place. It's called the day of the awakening blast, the rapture of the church. Praise God. We're going to look at this. This is the blast, the last trumpet. Amen? Where God comes and takes his church home. We will meet him in the sky. He will not touch this earth with his feet until his second coming. So let's separate that now. The rapture of the church is not the second coming. He's taking us out. He's taking the church home. And then the wrath will be poured out for 7 years on this earth. And praise God. How many are so blessed to know that he's mindful of us? We don't want to be on this earth when the tribulation is taking place. Many believe it'll be a nuke war. And that war won't last long. Okay, then, number 3, look at this. Yom HaDin. What happens on the Feast of Trumpets, it's called the Day of Judgment. The opening of the books. The opening of the gates. We're going to touch on all these right now. I need you to just hang in there with me. Amen. Praise God. Number 4 is Yom HaKiseh. What does that mean? It's called the hidden day. The hidden day. We're going to look at scripture, why that's called the hidden day. And then we look at this. This is what I can't wait for. It's called Ha Kiddushin Nesuin, meaning the wedding of the Messiah. Guess what? That's when he consummates the bride and him, the groom and how many believe that you are the bride of Christ? Can I get an amen? Well, he's going to consummate that in heaven with us. Right now, we're just betrothed. You know what betrothed means? That means you are mine and I am yours and I'm coming for you. We have to look at this in a Hebraic connotation because Jesus is Jewish. Can I get an amen? He's not a Gentile. So we have to look at this in the Hebraic root. We got to look at this through the Hebrew mind and the customs. Why he went away, he said, then I'm coming back. Did you know he said, I'm going away to prepare a mansion for you, and then I'm coming back? Well, that's what the Jewish husbands do. They make a betrothal, and then a year later, they come for their bride. And they go build a house for his wife. So this is what Jesus is doing right now. I'm telling you, this is all coming into play right now. Now, the next one is this one. HaMelech, the coronation of the Messiah. We will be there when his father crowns him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Oh, that's right. And then once he's crowned king, he will come and judge the world. He's not coming back as the little baby in the manger. He's not coming back as the suffering Messiah. He already suffered. Hallelujah. He already died and shed his blood for us. Can I get amen? And he rose again. And now he's sitting at the right hand of his father right now. But when we coronate him and his father crowns him as King of Kings, then he will come and execute judgment on this world. Wow. It's all going to take place. It's all going to take place, the coronation of the Messiah. So now, let's break this down. This is why we had to cancel the healing rooms, because this is kind of somewhat of a lengthy message. But hang in there. How many of you want to know what takes place on the Feast of Trumpets? Amen. So let's look at this. Let's look at the time of Jacob's trouble. What is the time of Jacob's trouble? The 7-year tribulation. The 7 years. So let's look at this. It's the 7-year tribulation. It will be the beginning of a 7-year Shemitah cycle. My goodness. Check this out. When the sun sets today, it'll be a brand new 7-year cycle. I'm not saying tribulation starting this, but this is a tribulation watch. This is a rapture watch. Can I get amen? We are to be watching for these things. We cannot say these things for 100% certainty. Can I get amen? Praise God. Look at what it says in Jeremiah now. We're going to go into the word. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor? And all faces turn pale. Alas, look at this. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. Hallelujah. That's us. We will be saved out of Jacob's trouble. In other words, we won't be part of that 7-year tribulation unless you want to be here. How many of you don't want to be here? Come on. Oh, so no hands went up. So you all want to be here. How many don't want to be here? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Look at Daniel. Look what Daniel says. At the time Michael shall stand up, Michael the archangel, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. We haven't seen that yet. We haven't seen a time of trouble like that yet. We've seen World War I, World War II. We've seen many wars, but we have not seen a tribulation around the world as what Daniel is referring to. It's going to be a time of great duress. Just imagine everything going off at one time. Earthquakes, tsunamis, wars, famine, lawlessness, looting, shooting. People are killing each other now. It's going to be so ridiculously gone wrong. Praise God. We're not going to be here. Because God is going to save us from this time. It says it right here. Such as never was since there was a nation. Even, look at this. Even to that time, and at your time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book. Now look at this. He's talking about now the rapture. In verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust. Okay, so the past 2,000 years. Okay. From Christ, from Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, you have to mark the timeline from there to our present day. All those who died in Christ are going to rise first from the dead. Now, how many of you read in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it talks about when Jesus rose again, many also got out of their graves, and they went into heaven with him. Who were they? Those were the Old Testament saints. Those are the ones he redeemed, but his blood had to be shed first. So when his blood was shed, he went down and freed the Old Testament saints. But that time, from that moment on, then the gospel age, the church age began, which we are now involved in the church age. So just know this. Some of you have loved ones. Some of you have friends and family members, believers, who already have died. They're the ones that God's going to raise up first. And we that are alive and remain will come right after them. Now look at this. It says right here. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Are you catching this? Shall awake. Some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. They're going to be those who God's going to resurrect as well. Every man and woman, but for the non-believer, the one that never gave their heart to Christ, the one who basically never been born again, they will go to a place called hell, and then they will be tossed into the lake of fire. Aren't you, let me just say this. Aren't you so blessed that God saved us? Can I get an amen? That God saved you and I? What a blessing. Look at this. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Listen, while we're here still on this earth, let us be like that, sharing the gospel, preaching, teaching, raising people up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Why? Because this is our moment. This is the moment that God is using us right now. This, don't let days go by. If you need to reiterate to your friends and loved ones, those who you dearly love, let them know, hey, Jesus is coming soon. It's time to give your heart to Christ. It's time not to play church, but be the church. Can I get amen? Amen. And so, look what it says here in Matthew 24. For then there will be great tribulation. This is Jesus now saying, there's going to be a future time. Such has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. Didn't we just read that in Daniel? There's going to be a time like no other time. This great tribulation has not yet come. Or we would be talking about that. No, it has not yet come. Look at this. Such has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. For the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So, I truly believe God's going to take his bride out before the tribulation hits. Can I get amen? Why? Because we just read. We don't want our days shortened. Can I get amen? God's going to take us and remove us. Then the wrath of God will be poured out. So now, let's look at our next idiom. Not idiot. The day of the awakening blast, the rapture of the church. Praise God, praise God. You see, my friends, on the Feast of Trumpets, the shofar is blown. This is what happens on the Feast of Trumpets. Like tonight, if you go to Maranatha Chapel, they do a ceremonial blast. They didn't do it last year, but the years prior they did it. But this is what our Jewish friends do. And a lot of us Gentiles don't have no clue. Remember, it's a dress rehearsal. They don't even know that Jesus is involved in this whole thing. Because they're blind. The Bible says they are blind right now. Until God opens their eyes, they don't see what we see. Okay, so this is what takes place. Look at this. On the Feast of Trumpets, the shofar is blown 100 times. There are 3 sounds made with the shofar. Look at this. It's called the tekiah, 1 long blast. Shevarim, 3 shorter blasts. Terurah, 9 quick blasts in short succession. This series is blown 11 times for a total of 99 blasts. And the final blast is known as the what? The last trump. Didn't we read that? Remember I told you, make a mental note in Corinthians? The last trump? Well, that's gobble gobble. That's Thanksgiving, the idiom that we just talked about, right? It's referring to the Feast of Trumpets, because the last blast is when the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we that are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up to be with the Lord. How many can't wait for that moment? I can't wait for this moment. Amen. I want to be with the Lord. I don't know about you guys. I want to be with God. Amen. So look at this. Just to reiterate what I'm saying here, the last trump. Okay, this is what they do. 99 blasts, and then the 100th one is called the last trump. Let's read this again. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. There it is. There it is, my friends. The last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Can I get amen? Now, I'm going to go to this scripture right up here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at this. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. That's the shofar. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds. Notice, in the clouds, this is not his second coming. This is the rapture of the church. When he comes for the church, he's only going to be in the clouds. And he's going to call his bride home. Praise God. That's us. He's going to call us home. And we're going to be with him in heaven, going through all these ceremonies in heaven with him for 7 years. And then the Bible says we're coming back with him on white horses. We're coming back. And he, and him alone, is going to execute judgment on the earth. But we'll be with him. How many of you can't wait to be on that white horse? Because he has a horse tailor-made for you. Oh, that's right. And it'll be yours and only yours. Praise God. Praise God. So now, let's look at the third one. Let's look at this. It's called Yom Hadim, Day of Judgment, the opening of the books, the opening of the gates. All these take place on the Feast of Trumpets. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians, look at this, 3:13. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. Listen to this, my friends. Everything that we have done for Christ, everything that you and I, since the day we got saved, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This is not the white throne judgment. The white throne judgment is where unbelievers, sinners, and those who do abominable acts will be thrown into the lake of fire. We're going to stand before Christ because what God is going to look at is he's going to look at what was our motive on serving him. Was it of a pure heart? Was it to be seen? Was it to be heard? Were we serving Christ for selfish gain? Or were we doing it for a pure heart to serve one another like he came to serve us? Can I get amen? So that's why this scripture says, look at this. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare. What day? Capital D. That's the day of the Lord, when we're going to stand before Christ. This will be on trumpets. Look at this. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. How many of you want to receive a reward? Praise God. Amen. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. This is what I always kid around, is that if you get saved, some of you are going to be like this. Man, there's a trail of smoke behind me because I just made it in. Can I get amen? Praise God. God's word says it all right here. We're all going to stand before Christ. Can I get amen? And it's going to be on that feast. Look at this. Because it says right here in 2 Corinthians, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All of us. We're all going to appear before him. Look at this. That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So in other words, God is going to put us on blast before him. I know we don't want to hear it. I've said this in a kidding way. But if we were to put people's sins up here, I'll be the first one to beat you to the door. I'd run out of here. Can I get amen? Because we're all sinful. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. It's but his grace that he saved us. It was his mercy that saved us. Can I get amen? It was not works of righteousness that we have done. It was but his mercy, his grace that saved us. But we're going to stand before him. And we're going to have to give an account to everything we've done. Everything. He's going to judge everything that we've done. And so there's nothing we can hide. You know why? Because it's just going to be you and him. You can't call anyone to come and defend you. You can't get the best lawyer to defend you. We're going to be judged. It says it right here. How many believe God's word is true? Can I get amen? That's what God's word says. Look at this. Knowing therefore, verse 11, look at this. Let me go back to that word up here. Yes, verse 11, look at this. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. That's the first time you hear this in Scripture. The terror of the Lord. You know, praise God, we hear sermons of love, joy, peace, you know, and everything's fruity-tooty. But God talks about serious matters here, and they need to be discussed. Can I get amen? We can't skim them over. Look at this. It says it right here. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciousness. Meaning, God wants us to operate in a pure conscience before him. Can I get amen? There should be no selfish motives. We should be serving with a pure heart. We should love one another with a pure heart. We need to serve one another in a pure heart. Amen? Amen. What I felt this morning, this worship team was worshiping God in a pure heart. There's no agenda here. They came to honor the King. They came to honor God. They came to usher in his presence so that we would be prepared for this word. Can I get amen? And so we're still looking at these judgments that are going to take place on the Feast of Trumpets. Look what it says in Revelation. Now, this is where it gets frightful for those who do not believe. Those who have no relationship with God, they have no inkling of who he is, and they've never been born again. They've never been born again. Because only the born-again believers are going to make it in. How many believe that? Well, that's what Jesus told Nicodemus. Unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's clear in Scripture. Can I get amen? That's clear. Amen. You just will come up and, yeah, I received Jesus, and go home and still live like the devil. Nothing's changed. See, when Jesus truly comes in, you're changed from the inside out. Can I get amen? Then the Holy Ghost comes in and takes residence. Amen. Now we've been freed. What did he free us from? You know, the Bible says, whom the Son says free is free indeed. He has freed us to worship him and to praise him and to serve him. Because when we were in sin and bondage, we had no inkling to do that. We had no desire. Matter of fact, right now, I'd be home watching the NFL games. Oh, yeah, I used to get together with my friends. We keg it up, drinking it up, huh? Or I'd be at a tailgate party, waiting for a 1 o'clock kick. Yeah, no desire. And if you came talking to me about Jesus back in the day, what would we do, Brother Angel? We'd just punch you. That's how we rolled. That's how we rolled back then. But God came and transformed us. Hallelujah, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Can I get amen? Now we want to glorify him and we want to proclaim him. The Bible says, hallelujah, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jews and then to us Gentiles. We got to walk in that authority now. We got to walk in that power. Can I get amen? We got to walk, hallelujah, according to the power of the Holy Spirit. And you need to be in a place that will preach the whole counsel of God, that won't skim over these scriptures. Oh, I don't want to offend nobody. That's okay. You'll stand before God. We just read. How come you didn't preach and tell them that hellfire is real? Wow. But look at this, right up here. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small, great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to the works by the things which were written in these books. Did you know that there are many books that God's going to open up, and he has one book for each and every one of us? It's our entire life. Before salvation and after salvation. And he's going to go over all the books. But for those who died without Christ, there's not going to be no excuse. You know what he's going to do? He's going to play back in their mind when you and I came to preach to them, when we came to share the gospel with them, when we told them about the love of Jesus. They're not going to have no excuse. Can I get amen? Oh, that's right. And there's going to be some falling into the pit crying just like that. Oh, yes. The Bible says there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth where the worm dieth not. Man, that's a fearful place. God said, you know what? Be real with this script, with this sermon today. Why? Because a lot of places won't teach that. Look at this. The sea gave up the dead and that were in it. Death and Hades delivered up and the dead were in it. And look at this. And they were judged one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Wow. That's a real place. It's a real place. It's a real place, my friends. And those of you that are on Facebook and YouTube, I've preached many sermons. But if this is your first time hearing this, these scriptures, it's because God loves you. God's not mad at you. He's telling you to turn with your whole heart to him to save you from this horrible place. Can I get an amen? It's to save us from this horrible place. And so, it's judgment. Then the gates are open. Praise God. Praise God. Then the gates are open. And let's look at this for a moment. In Psalms 24, look at this. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory, hallelujah, shall come in. Listen, when we are raptured and we are taken to heaven, the gates will open and the King of glory, hallelujah, will walk in and we will worship him and praise him. How many can't wait for that day? Come on, we're going to worship and glorify him. And guess what? We will not be tired. There will be no clocks on the wall. We're not saying, man, when is this preacher going to hurry up? Can I get amen? Thank God there's no more hometown buffet. And the Golden Corral is too far away. Come on. I'm telling you, saints of God. We're around the corner. Can I get an amen? Look at this. And the Lord's strong and mighty. How many believe the Lord is strong and mighty? And then he goes on, lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And then it goes on to say, who is this King of glory? Who is this King of glory? Who is this King of glory? His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's from everlasting to everlasting, for he is God. Hallelujah. And there is none like him. And there is no one that sits beside him. Hallelujah. He's all God all by himself. Hallelujah. And he's the only one that can save. Can I get an amen? He's the only one that can save. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Look at this. In Psalm 118, look at this. Open to me the gates of righteousness. Listen, let me just say this. All of us that enter in and the King of glory is there and he walks in, every one of us will be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Can I get an amen? There ain't going to be no sin up there. There's not going to be no weeping. There's not going to be no sorrow. There's not going to be any more indignation up there. We're going to be at total bliss with him. And the righteousness of Christ will reign. Will reign. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And look at this. Let's move on to what it says. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them. And I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. Can I get amen? Look to your neighbor and say, the righteous will enter. Come on, turn to your neighbor. And turn to the other side because they're coming too. Oh, amen. The righteous will enter. Praise God, and I will go through them, the gate through which the righteous shall enter, and I will praise you. How many can't wait to praise him? How many can't wait to praise him? Hallelujah. For you have answered me and have become my salvation. Amen. Amen. How many believe that you are his salvation? Can I get amen? Amen. Come on. Now here's where God's grace comes in. Because we got to look at this next one. It's called Yom HaKesed, the hidden day. The hidden day. Why God calls it the hidden day? Okay? We talked about the tribulation, right? We talked about that God's going to pour out the seven-year tribulation. But God calls one day called the hidden day. I need you to catch this. It's found in Zephaniah. For some of you, your pages are probably still stuck together. You haven't been there in a while. Let's go to Zephaniah chapter 2. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Look at this. Here's the prophetic word right here. Gather yourselves together. Gather together, O undesirable nation, before the decree is issued. So the day of judgment is a decree from God, from heaven. It's all in the courts of heaven. He shall decree. You know how a judge here on earth makes a decree? And then the judgment becomes final. Can I get amen? So let's look at this. Praise God. O undesirable nation, before the decree is issued, or the day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you. See, God gets mad. Can I get amen? Right now, we all know, oh, where's the love, brother? Where's the love? Well, listen, there's going to be a day when God is going to decree and his anger is going to be filled to the brim. This is why he decrees judgment, because it's already risen to the top, the sin that's around the world. Look at this. Here's where we can rejoice. Look at this. I need you to catch this. Seek the Lord. This is now. This is the church age. Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth who have upheld his justice. You have upheld his word. You believe Christ. Look at this. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. This is the time to be the saint of God. Can I get an amen? It may be that you will be hidden. Did you catch that? You will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. Wow. Hidden. Meaning God is going to cover us. He's going to protect us from the judgment. You got to catch this. You got to catch it and let it just birth in your spirit, because we're not appointed unto wrath. He's going to cover us. How many can't wait for that day when he covers? Come on, give God a shout. Jesus, he's going to hide us in the Lord's anger on that hidden day. And we're also going to see why it's called a hidden day. There's more idioms to this on the Feast of Trumpets. But this is Old Testament, but how about New Testament? Okay, let's go there. 1 Thessalonians 5, for God did not appoint us to what? To wrath. But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, whether we wake or sleep. Meaning, even if we die in Christ, he's going to come back for us. But I'd rather be on my two feet, and he takes me from there. You know, I kid around with you guys, but we're going to be on an airplane ride tomorrow. And I said, God, we're flying to Arkansas. We're in the air. God, if you're going to take us, you don't have to take us from the ground. We're in the air already. Just take us from there. But praise God, it's a two-day feast. So listen, I don't want no one to be sad, but if we're still here Wednesday, God has given us another year. Can I get an amen? God has given us another year to serve him and to praise him, to worship him, to love one another, and to lead others to Christ. But look at this. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, frighten one another. No, comfort one another. comfort one another, each another, and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Praise God. Praise God. You see, we're going to look at this in a little bit. But look what King David prophesied. Look at this. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. How many remember that Jesus says, I go away and I prepare a place for you? And when I come back, I will come back for you. So for 2,000 years, he has gone away, right, to prepare a place for us. So on the day of wrath, the day of trouble, he's going to hide us in his pavilion. My goodness. Look at it. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high on a rock. Look what Isaiah says here. Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself as if were a little moment until the indignation has passed. That's us up there for 7 years while the wrath is going down here on earth. So indignation means a time of trouble, a time of wrath, a time of judgment. So Isaiah had a foreknowledge of this. He said, for behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. Are you catching this? So God, hallelujah, is going to hide us from the indignation, from the trouble, from the wrath, from the judgment. And so, saints, this is also a hidden day from Satan. We're talking about the Feast of Trumpets. You ever notice that out of all the feasts, it's a two-day feast, Tishri 1 and Tishri 2. Look at this. And people use this scripture, a lot of Gentile Christians, and it's no knock on them, because I thought that way too until I started studying the Hebraic root, and I got a little deeper. But everyone knows this. But of that day, an hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Okay, I get that. But what was he referring to? Was it referring that no one's going to have a clue? I'm here to show you in Scripture, the apostles knew what Jesus was talking about. The day of the hour. Remember, it's a two-day feast. We're going to talk about this real quickly. Look at this. And first, look at this. So here's a big clue for us. But concerning the times and seasons, what did we just learn? The appointed times, right? And the seasons, right? Brethren, that you have no need I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. We hear that too. He's going to come as a thief in the night. So in other words, we as believers, you mean he's going to come to me like a thief? Uh-oh. Not so. Look at this. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Now, here's the good news for us. When he's talking about that, no one knows the day or the hour. Look at this. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. Say that with me. We are not in darkness. So that this day should overtake you as a thief. Are you catching that? Because we're not thieves to God. We're the beloved. We're his chosen. We're the elect of God. We're the remnant. We're the ones that God has called out of darkness into his marvelous light. God is using you and I to win others to Christ, to walk upright. We need to be a witness on this earth for him. Can I get an amen? That's why he called us to be a witness to this unbelieving world. So look at this. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Can I get an amen to that? Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. God wants us to see these times that we see now. He don't want us to be in darkness. Look at this. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk, get drunk at night. Oh, remember those days. Oh, yeah. Maybe I saw you there too. I don't know. Back in the day, huh? Oh, yeah. We was wine bibbing it. But look at this. But let us who are of the day be sober. Meaning, do not be intoxicated in this world. It doesn't just mean alcohol. It means don't get caught up with the culture. Don't get caught up with the thing. Be sober-minded, knowing that Jesus is about to return. Look at this. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen? So I need you to catch this now. We talked about no one knew the day or the hour. So the apostles, when they just read, they weren't in darkness. They knew what Jesus was talking about. They knew what Paul was talking about when he wrote this in Thessalonians. Look at this. The Feast of Trumpets is on Tishri 1 and 2. It's a two-day feast. No one knew when the sighting of the new moon would be. So when they saw the new moon, the feast began. So here's the deal. In these next 2 days, when the feast actually starts is when they see the new moon. It can only start, the feast can only start on the new moon. They look for this sighting. It could be on the first day or the second day. No one knew the day or the hour when the feast would begin. This is what they look for. They look for that sliver. That's a new moon. That's not a full moon. A full moon was as big and orange, right? A new moon is when they see a sliver. When they see that sliver, the feast begins. So this is why they didn't know the day or the hour when they would see the sighting of the new moon. And that's when the Feast of Trumpets began. Praise God. Are you guys catching this? Yes. Praise God. Now we're going to look at number 5. We got two more idioms to go over. I remember years ago, this one brother goes, "Man, why, how come you keep calling us idiots?" No, they're idioms. Hallelujah. Now, this is where the meat of this teaching comes, because how many believe you're the bride of Christ? How many believe that we've been betrothed? And it's through a Jewish Hebrew betrothal. This is not California getting a marriage contract and then we can divorce anytime for irreconcilable differences. People in the church and even in the world are divorcing left and right like no other. Aren't you so blessed that Jesus never divorced us? Hallelujah. Can I get amen? He's going to keep his promise to us. Amen. Hallelujah. We are his. And he's not going to do this and burn up the contract and say, "You're done." He's not going to do that to us. Why? Because he loves his church. We're the bride of Christ. He died for us. This is who he died for his church. My goodness. Hallelujah. Is he worthy? Come on. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? So we're going to look at HaKadoshim. Nisuin, the wedding of the Messiah. I need you to catch this up here. I got it all written here so that I'm just reading from my notes. Look at this. Number one, marriages were arranged by parents like Abraham for Isaac. Typically, the young men will go to the house to the bride-to-be carrying 3 items, a large sum of money, a betrothal contract, and a skin of wine. This is what they did back then, okay? Anyone arriving at a house with these 3 items was definitely considered a prospect. Okay? Now, if the bridal price was approved, a glass of wine was poured, and as she approved, the betrothal contract became a legal document between the two. Their status was betrothed rather than fully married, even though they would be called husband and wife. So we are the bride, even though we haven't been redeemed yet. We haven't been together with him face to face yet. Remember, he went away. So what a Jewish man would do is he would go and seek out his bride. And if she consented, then a betrothal will take place. He goes, you're mine, and I'm coming back for you in a year because I go to my Father's house to build you a mansion. Are you catching this? Look what Ezekiel said here. When I passed by you again, looked upon you, indeed your time was the time of love. So I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. Remember, we were but filthy rags before God, huh? And now we're covered under the blood of Jesus. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered in a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord God. And then I washed you in water. Yes, I thoroughly washed off your blood, and I anointed you with oil. When we got saved, the blood of Jesus eradicated our sin. And the Holy Spirit is now living inside us. And we are His forevermore. Can I get an amen? And so, my friends, let me see if I have this. Yes. In the Jewish tradition, the bridegroom would make the statement. He would go to his father's house and prepare a place for her. This place was known as the chamber. The chamber. So, remember we talked about he's going to hide us in his pavilion? He's going to hide us in his chamber? Okay. So, when they get together, there's going to be a massive one in heaven where we're all... The Bible says there are going to be so many up there, it's going to be like a sea. I'm talking all the time from Abraham to our present day. All the saints will be up there with him when we consummate the marriage supper of the Lamb. How many can't wait for that day? Huh? So look at this. This is a shupa. This is what it looks like. Okay? And they come together. Yeah, and so this, obviously this is just for one couple. But this is a pavilion. Because notice, it can be draped. These things can unravel and be draped. Okay, God's going to have a giant one up in heaven. And when he calls us home, it's going to look something like this. Hallelujah. When he calls us home, can I get an amen? How many can't wait? We're the bride. We're the bride. It's mentioned throughout the Word of God. We're the bride of Christ. We're washed in the blood. We're his. We're eternally his. Can I get an amen? That's why Jesus said it himself best. He said it right up here. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And my Father's house are so many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way you know. We know. We know, huh? Why? Because we've been saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? We are secure in Christ. We, the believers. Praise God. And so, my friends, right up here, I think I have it right up here. Let's go. Yes. The bride has been bought with a price and is to spend her time preparing to live as a wife and mother in Israel. This is what they do. Spending her days learning how to please her husband and waiting for his return. This is what we do. This is what we're doing. We're waiting for his return. Can I get amen? We're waiting for his return. So we're spending our days and our times praising him, worshiping him, serving him, leading others to Christ, being a witness for him, loving one another, edifying one another. Why? Because we're patiently waiting for him to return. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Now look at this. I need you to catch this. The bridal price was established for the bride. And look at this. This is how God established us. It's through the Word of God. It's through not what I'm saying up here. Can I get amen? It's right here. Look at this. knowing that you were redeemed. Look at this. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by your tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hallelujah. It was the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. That redeemed us. Praise God. That's why we're His forever. And if you've never been born again, you've never been filled with the Spirit of promise, this is a time to get real with God. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. This is a time to surrender. This is the time to give your life to Christ wholeheartedly and fall on your face if you have to. But God is looking for His church without blemish or spot. Can I get amen? And you know, that baffles me, blemish or spot, because the Bible says we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. We still battle in this body of flesh. Without blemish or spot can only take place when the blood is applied. Can I get amen? You see, because when God the Father looks down, He doesn't see your sin no more. I hope you know that. Guess what He sees? He sees the blood. Hallelujah, of His Son. Praise God. He sees that you were washed in the blood. Praise God. And you are forever His. Thank you, God. Man, I'm so blessed. He made a way that we can live down here, even in this body of flesh, knowing that we weren't, hallelujah, redeemed with corruptible things. I could tell you how good you are. I could tell you how much I love you. I could tell you all these things in the morning, and yet in the same evening, I could learn to hate you. But not God. Not God. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? We don't belong to us no more. Can I get amen? Look at this. Whom you have from God, and you're not your own, for you were bought with a price. Listen, when He died on that cross, when He shed His blood, there was a price to be paid. He sent His only begotten Son, and He died a hideous death. He had to take on the whole sins of the world. They were placed upon Him as a sin offering for you and I. He bled, He was beaten, He was ridiculed, He was mocked. His beard was ripped from Him. Josephus, the historian who was there, he's an eyewitness account. He said when you looked upon Him, you couldn't tell His gender no more. That's how badly His flesh was beaten. Because we look at Christ on a cross in movies and books, and He always had a terry cloth on. He was naked before the world. There was a horrible price to pay. This is why take your salvation serious, my friends. Can I get amen? Amen. Learn to love Him. Learn to adore Him. Be thankful that He saved us from the pit of hell. We were headed there. And so now, check this out. The bride and groom are betrothed. Look at this. I'll go back here. This legally binds the two together, but they don't live together. You catch that? Okay, so we're not living with Christ right now. He's in heaven. But we've been betrothed. So that's why He went away. He's coming back so that we can live with Him. He's going to consummate our marriage with Him. How many are getting something out of this message this morning? Amen? So look at this. Look at this. We're almost done. Someone back there, I heard, don't be lying, Pastor. Look at this. In Hosea, I will betroth you to me forever. Look at this. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice. That's God betrothing us, washing the blood, and mercy. Aren't you so glad He had mercy on us? How many of you can remember the day before you gave your life to Christ? You were out there with the rest of them, running with a bunch of rascals. Huh? Oh, come on. You know the places we were in? You know the places where we would find ourselves in? Drunk as a skunk. Doing all kinds of things. In and out of rooms. Oh, we did all the stuff you can't even speak of up here. But he had mercy. He had mercy. How many believe he had mercy on us? Look at this. And I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. It shall come to pass that day that I will answer, says the Lord, and I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So when Jesus died on that cross, he rose again. He sent the Holy Ghost on that fourth feast, Pentecost. And now the Holy Ghost has been poured out. And now that's how God, hallelujah, is gathering his church through the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at this. The earth shall answer with grain, with new wine, and with oil. They shall answer Jezreel. Then I will sow her in for myself in the earth, and I'll have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. We were a bunch of rebels without a cause. Then I will say to those who are not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my God. So just go back that moment when you gave your heart to Christ. Prior to that, you were not a people of God. And then when you surrendered and gave your heart to God, you became his people. Now, I need you to catch this right here. Look at this. A written document draws up called the Ketubah. This is in the Jewish culture, which states the bride price, promises of the groom, and the rights of the bride. The Bible is our Ketubah. This is where we find how God has redeemed us, not through what we say, but what is written in the Word of God. Can I get amen? Look at this. For the promises of God in him are yes and amen to the glory of God through us. Now he establishes what with you in Christ and has anointed us to God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Did you know that nothing can take away your salvation? How many believe that? The gates of hell, a demon, your mad relative, who's angry at you? None of them can take away your salvation. Can I get an amen? So here's the thing. When that Jewish husband, or the guy that's looking for his wife, he comes to many, it's the one who takes the sip of wine that says what? She's basically saying, I do. I do. So, what is our Ketubah in the Word of God? What is our I do? How did we say I do? Right up here. The bride must give her first consent, I do. We're the bride, remember? It's right here in the Word. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Look at this. For the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So when Jesus came to us, we said, I do. We repented. Can I get amen? It's in the Word. That's our binding contract. It's through the Word of God. It's through our confession of faith. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that we didn't have to take premarital classes? I think all of us would fail every one of them. It was all done by faith. Look at this. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be what? Saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you are getting a lot out of this? I have a little bit more. Can you hang tough? Huh? We have no healing rooms today. I'm sorry, there's no lunch being served today. But I believe this is lunch right now. Can I get amen? Hey, the feast comes around only once a year. And we may be gone on this. I don't know. I'm not setting dates, but man, I'm looking for Jesus. I don't know about you. Can I get amen? So, how many can't wait for this? The marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, come on. How many can't wait for that? It's found in the book of Revelation here. Look at this. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. That's us, the bride. We made ourselves ready. Can I get an amen? And to her it is granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. That's us. We're the saints of God. Can I get an amen? We're not talking about these little plastic statues. We're the saints of God. Can I get amen? Then he said to me, right, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper. Hey, turn to your neighbor and say, you have been called. Amen. To the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, write these things. Praise God, praise God. So we're going to go to our last idiom. Okay? It's called Hamalek. You ever hear that Jewish Hamalek? Okay. Yeah, you know it, huh? It's called the coronation of the Messiah. The coronation of the Messiah. Look at this. In Psalms 90, 98, I'm going to go through these kind of a little quickly now. Look at this. With trumpets and the sound of a horn, shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap hands and let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth with righteousness. He shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. Meaning, after the marriage supper of the Lamb, he's coming back. Look at this in Hebrews. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. God is going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. And guess what? We're going to rule and reign with him. So I need you to get this out of your mind. Is we're not going to be up there playing harps on a cloud. Eating marshmallows. And bonbons. No. We're going to catch this. We're going to rule and reign with him. So this world is still going to exist. And for 1,000 years, there'll be peace on this earth. And there's going to be humans on this earth that have not been born again. And God has called the church, his bride, to rule and reign with him. And he says that the nations that don't come up to worship him, he won't even put rain on their land. 1,000 years. Just imagine 1,000 years without any cursing, without any sin, without any violence, with no evil. How many can't even fathom that? There will be just righteousness in the world. Like the way he intended it to be. And it's going to happen real quickly. Look at this. I'm going to go to this scripture right up here. In Titus 2:12. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Listen, don't be mad when you share the gospel and people say, yeah, right, I'm glad you found God. Oh, that was good for you. I remember you. You needed God, didn't you? Don't laugh at them. They don't know. They have no clue. And if it gets a little hasty, Bible says, dust off your sandals and just walk away. Don't argue. Until God gives them a mind to be saved, they're not going to know. But we are to be called a witness. Can I get amen? So this is why it says right here, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved. This is now the second coming of Christ. And it'll happen on the Feast of Tabernacles when the New Jerusalem will come down, because he has to renovate this world. Look what God says here. I'm going to ask this question. Has this happened yet? He flooded the earth in the days of Noah. How many believe he flooded the earth? Okay. And now the rainbow is supposed to be a sign. It's supposed to be a sign that God will never flood the earth again. And now it's being perversed. You know what I'm talking about. It's no longer saying that Noah won't flood. I mean, when God flooded the earth, they're using it for pride. Look at this. Because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That's us. We're going to be dwelling with him. Look at this. Therefore, beloved, he calls us beloved. Aren't you so blessed that God calls us beloved? Looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace and without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of your Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, he has written this to you. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that he has written that to us? Now look at this. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them these things, which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. There's people that won't talk about this. Therefore, it says, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall for your own steadfastness, being led away with the terror or the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace of knowledge. What is God saying? Birds of a feather flock together. Listen, if you have more unsaved friends and hanging with them than the saints of God to edify one another, something's out of order. Yeah, you're to preach to them, share with them, tell them to repent. But if that's your hanging out, yeah, and I'm telling you, that's going to jump on you. This is the time to live sanctified, living unto God. Can I get an amen? This is not the time to play church. It's time to be the church. And so, my friends, Jesus is coming soon. He's coming again. Brother, is my video up? The video? No. On the audio. I want you to catch this, because we already read these scriptures early on. But I need you to see this. Why? Because how many believe God's coming again? And we don't know. If we're still here Wednesday, praise God. I'm not going to be upset. We get another year to serve him and praise him and glorify him. But he's coming on the Feast of Trumpets. It's clear in Scripture. It's clear in Scripture. But let's go here for a moment. Let's look in here. And I'm speaking to those on YouTube and Facebook as well. If you haven't given your heart to Jesus, please, 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 don't allow this to happen to you.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
That's always going to be the million-dollar question. Are you ready? Are you ready? You see, one of the things I want to just praise God, and I'm going to end here. One of the things that I'm so very thankful for is that God gave me time to repent. I got saved at the age of 30. And for 63 years now, 33 years have gone by, and I have not regretted one moment living for Him. I'm praying that we would take our salvation serious, that we would know that God has a mighty plan for us, and that what we just read, all these events will take place. God's going to fulfill His word. God is not like a man that would lie. He tells us the truth. He tells us that He loves us and He wants us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And I'm going to ask everyone to stand. And maybe you've logged in just now. And maybe, just maybe. Also, I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up. And maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this is a divine appointed time for you. Maybe it's your first time logging in, I don't know. Maybe you've never given your heart to Christ, I don't know. But God knows who you are. And I'm here to let you know, this is still a time of grace and mercy. He's still harvesting souls up until the very moment He will return. And if you haven't given your heart yet to Jesus, I'm going to ask you to bow your heart and your head with me and pray this sinner's prayer by faith. Ask God to have mercy on you, to wash you in His blood, to fill you with the Holy Spirit of promise. And it's done by faith. We read that it's not what we do for Christ, it's what He has done already for us. And that was the work on the cross. And so, I'm going to ask that you would pray with me and ask God to come in by faith. Bow your heart and your head. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to You that I'm a sinner. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that You died for me. And the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask You now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor You and to follow You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is He worthy?